Good afternoon, friends. This is Carolyn Evers, and by my side is Caroline Allen, and we're just delighted to be here to take your questions regarding health issues, and if needed, check the Akashic Records to see the foundation for the problem that you're having. Good afternoon, Caroline.
Good afternoon, Carolyn. How are you?
We're great. So we're good. The two CCs, huh?
That's right.
Something that I thought might be of interest to discuss today is both of us have come across people who have present-day problems that have actually originated in past lifetimes. And some of the books that I have done, people have covered that issue. And Akashic Readings that I've read for people, that has been there also. Tell me what some of your experience has been, if you care to share this with the audience, of illnesses, disease that has occurred in people's lives that have a bearing on past lifetimes. Have you found this to be true?
Oh, absolutely. You know, every case is totally different, really. I can tell you about one of the things that happened to me in a past lifetime, and when I started having issues with this pain in the left-hand side of my back and started working on trying to clear it and to go all the way back and see what the original instance was where it occurred, I found that in that lifetime I was a man in Hawaii, and I was fighting a war against another group of Hawaiians and had planned this sort of midnight attack or raid, and we were going in very quietly. There was no moon at night. And apparently the people that we were getting ready to attack had realized we were coming, and they came up from around the back side of the island, and I was speared in that same place in my back, and I fell over into the water, of course, out of my canoe, and of course was dead when I hit the water. But then as I went from that lifetime back up, I found that I'd had other lifetimes in which I'd had a similar sort of situation going on with some sort of injury to my back. So in each one of those lifetimes, I had to go in and heal that particular wound all the way back up to today, and once I did that, then I had no more problems with my sharp pain in my left side.
Well, I've had similar experiences myself, Caroline, but rather than get into those, I was intrigued with something that you said, how you went in and you followed that. I'm trying to think of your exact words. I don't know that you use the word path, but that you followed some string or connection. Do you care to elaborate on that a little bit and perhaps maybe how you would do that? I'm kind of asking this question really for the benefit of people who would be listening right now.
Well, what I did when I went in to do the healing was I asked God to show me where the pain originated, and then I saw that scene, and so then I asked him how we could go about healing that scene, and then said, okay, now has this happened before, or since that time? Has that happened in another lifetime? So God basically just showed me each one of the lifetimes in which I had a wound in that same local area. And in each lifetime, what he did was show me how to change that memory within my cellular structure, because your cells hold your memories. And they really hold your memories of any recurrent illness or pain or whatever. And so he would go in and show me how he would go about healing each one of those situations. And it just went, you know, it just took that incident up to today, so that unfortunately for my chiropractor, I don't have to go back to him anymore. But fortunately for me, I figured out, you know, how to go about healing the whole situation all the way back, so that there wasn't any sort of residual, I guess, hanging on of a memory of pain in that area.
Okay, a couple things of interest. Of course, everything you say is always of interest to me, Caroline. What can I say?
Same here.
Now, you're talking about the cells have memory. Are you talking about the DNA in the cells, or are you talking about the cell in general?
Both, actually. Your DNA, which is in each one of your cells, retains memory. And so does the cell, particularly if the cell's been affected by some sort of problem, whether it's physical, mental, emotional, or spiritual. The cells retain those memories. And lots of times those memories have got to be cleared in order for a healing to take place completely. I really learned this when I had a heart attack in 2002. And I went into the hospital and I had to have bypass surgery. And when I came out, the doctor came into the room and he just said, "You know, Ms. Allen, it was really just an honor and a pleasure to operate on you." And I went, "What? Excuse me?" He said, "Well, you know, you're in wonderful physical health. All of your tissue is very healthy, very alive. You're not overweight. You're not a smoker. You're not a drinker. Your blood sugar level is perfectly perfect." And I said, "So, why did this happen?" And he said, "Oh, you just have bad genes." And I went, "My genes aren't bad, excuse me." And so when he left the room, I went in and immediately went and talked to my genes and said, "Hey, guys, calm down. Y'all aren't bad. You know, this is not something we're going to accept. This is not a response that I choose to accept in my body. I do have genes, but I do not have bad genes. I have healthy, alive, good genes, and if there are some that have some slight defects in them, we're going to change those. We're not going to stand for this kind of, you know," because I learned during that surgery time and the time after it that you really need to talk to your body and tell it what's going on, because your cells take it pretty personally, even if you just fall down. They think you've, you know, deliberately fallen down and hurt them. Well, when you explain to them that, you know, you did not mean to fall down, that something was in the floor that had never been there before, and you fell over it, then you can put your hands on that place that you might have a bruise and let yourself know that it was an accident, it was a mistake, it was not something that you intended to do to hurt them, and you won't get a bruise there.
Well, that's fascinating, Caroline. Of course, it goes along with that topic of how all of our body parts have consciousness and we're able to communicate with them.
Right, exactly. And it's just really, and it's also fascinating to see how different each one of the cells is. They all know what their purpose is, and they know where they're supposed to be in the body and what they're supposed to be doing, and they have different personalities, and it's fascinating to see how they have different personalities, because I never thought about that before until I started doing this healing work and discovered, you know, that some of them are like the seven dwarves, they sing while they work, and they're happy-go-lucky, and then there are others that are really serious about what they're doing. And I found with my, I had to really go in and explain to my arteries, which had been removed, one from my wrist, one had been taken from the mammary artery, had been pulled down and used for the bypass, and then I had one removed from my leg. And they really didn't quite understand what was going on because they had this other job description. And so once I explained to them what was happening and how this worked and why they had been taken out and put somewhere else, they were so excited because as far as they were concerned, as part of the circulatory system, they knew that the whole purpose of this was to help the heart and to move the blood through the system. And all of a sudden, here they were as part of the heart, so they felt much more important and were much more willing to serve in that capacity once I'd explained that to them.
Now, when you, you're using a term here, go in, and I want people to understand what you're talking about. Now, first of all, Caroline, are you doing this from the alpha state, or are you doing it from the beta conscious state, like as we're talking?
Basically, I guess I'm doing it from a theta state. That's what I started out doing. I don't know that I'm still purely in a theta state. I think there's a state between theta and sound sleep, that's where you really are, but I'm a medical intuitive, so I can see inside the body and see what's going on. And so when I'm talking about going in and looking at something, what I basically mean is that I go inside my own body and see what's going on, and then work with whatever the process is that's going on within my own body. And does that explain what you what
well
you're...
It does, Caroline, and see, I understand exactly what you're talking about, but I realize there's people out there who are listening to this, either they're listening today or they're going to listen to it as an archive, and I want them to help them understand a little bit. And so let's the two of us talk a little bit about the different states. In other words, I'm talking to you, I'm fully engaged, not doing anything else, just chatting here away with you, and so I would be in the most active state.
Right.
And then we come to the next state where perhaps we're very relaxed and we're ready to drift off into to sleep and or just daydreaming, and people call that part of being in the alpha state. Now, if you relax a little more, the theta, can you give us a little idea as to what it's like to be in the theta state?
Well, that's the state that you're in right before you go to sleep. And it is when the brainwave activity has slowed down to the where you really are just about ready to go to sleep. I don't have any problems with going to sleep when I'm doing a healing, because it's also the state in which I connect with God, with the angels, with other beings who are helping with the healing work. Because I don't actually do the healing, I see what's done, God's doing the healing. That's why most of my work's done on the telephone, because it doesn't matter where somebody else is, God's everywhere. So he can do the healing work and be showing me what is going on and what he's doing. And in that state, it's like, I guess you'd call it a high meditation state, because I'm not aware usually when it is happening of things that are going on around me.
I think we have a caller, Caroline.
Do we?
Just hold on to that thought. We'll continue later.
Okay.
I heard
Hi,
a little
Caroline.
Beep. I'm assuming it's a caller.
Okay.
Hi. Caroline?
Yes.
Hi, this is Diana.
Hi, Diana.
Hi.
Good talking to you, dear.
I
Diana
know.
Is a lady that I asked to call in to chat with you, Caroline.
Oh, okay. Good.
Hi. Do you enjoy my Akasha records? Said my presence on Earth this time is not...
You know, that's something that I think we would discuss another time if you don't
okay,
mind,
that's
Diana.
Good, that's
what,
good.
What I'd like
about,
to do is keep
I'd
this
like
on the
to talk to you about my husband and my daughter who have that myotomic dystrophy.
Yes.
That DNA, it's DNA, they say it's chromosome 19, and my husband now is really breaking down from it. He falls all the time. He can't get up anymore. My daughter, she has the side effects. She's 22, and he's, what is he, 50? He's younger than me, so I can't remember how old he is. 53. And but he's beginning to well, he is not beginning, he's breaking down. I think he's also breaking down mentally, but I could be wrong. He used to be the smart one in the house, and time again I have to pick up the smart one. I hate that. So I was just like the
Excuse
one that
Excuse me, Diana. Caroline, did you get that, dear?
I'm hearing parts of it, but she's speaking very softly. So
oh, okay, no, that's just me. I swear I do that. Okay, no, let me speak loudly.
Diana, my husband,
Bob.
Let's talk about one. Who do you want to talk about, your daughter or your husband?
Well, I guess my husband then.
Okay, let's discuss your husband because it gets confusing when you're talking about two people.
Right, and because it is a genetic disease, healing him may heal my daughter, too.
Okay, now, Caroline, she's talking about a problem that her husband has. Do you have to speak to the husband?
Yes.
Oh, he's not here.
Okay, is your daughter there?
No, she's in Boston. She's probably, no, she's in Boston.
And is
listen to their higher... Their higher power.
So neither one of the people who want a healing are near the telephone. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, I want the healing for them.
I don't know that Caroline can work that way. Caroline, can you work that way?
And I have to have permission of the person who has got a problem to work on them. If they can't, for some reason, come to the telephone, once they have given me their verbal permission, I can work on that. I can work on a child if that child is under 18 and the mother or the father or...
Well, then it became just me. I can't stay awake. I don't know what it is.
Okay,
now let's
do this, Diana. Your daughter and your husband isn't there, so we'll talk about you. Is that okay?
Right. Oh,
okay.
That would be good.
Okay, Caroline, what she's saying is she's having trouble staying awake.
My psychiatrist has given me because I can't stay awake. He's given me something called Provigil.
What's the diagnosis, Diane? Is it narcolepsy?
Well, it's not narcolepsy. It's what he's diagnosed.
It is or it is not?
Huh?
What's the diagnosis?
He is giving me a diagnosis of narcolepsy.
Okay. Do you understand that, Caroline? Did you hear her?
The diagnosis is narcolepsy.
Yes.
Okay.
But remember, this is a psychiatrist.
And she's on medication. I understand that correctly.
Right. But even when I take the medication, I can't seem to get out of bed. My night sweats are getting much worse. And of course, I do a lot of work at night, you know, in the realms. I do a lot of work at night. So, I could be just retired from all the work I do, but I ask to let me do my work and be open for the next day.
Caroline, do you understand what she's saying? She's a night worker and does a lot of work at night, and she's wondering if being so tired, having a hard time getting out of bed is because of this or some other physical problem.
Right.
Let me go in here a minute into your brain and
have a
look around and see what I see in there, okay?
This, I
think, would be more a case of somehow the wiring's not exactly correct in her brain. So let me go in and look at that. And, Diana, what is your last name? Do you mind giving that?
Larrabee, L-A-R-R-A-B-E-E, Diana Larrabee.
Okay. All right, give me just a second here and let me connect with you, and then I'll go in and see what's going on. Do I have your permission to do that?
Yes, you do.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, I see some places where the wiring in your brain is not connected. So with your permission, God's going to go in and connect everything up, make sure that the neurons are all where they're supposed to be and that the connections are made between the various neurons. Okay? So
thank you. Thank you so much.
Certainly. We're starting to see some lights come on in there that weren't on before. And some movement between the dendrites and the neurons. Okay. Now, I'm also going to go into your pineal gland.
Yes, please.
Where your master cell is located, and go into the master cell and ask to see the DNA. And see if there's a place in your DNA where this would be basically a part of your DNA, and it may not be connected correctly. Okay.
Thank you.
We'll look at that. See several places there. So what God used to go in when we first started doing this kind of thing and repair the particular parts of the ladder of the DNA. Now he just pulls the whole section out and puts a whole new section in so that it's much faster and much easier. And it all connects up, and then I see that whole section lit up where the DNA is. And then we ask God to ask that DNA to be reproduced in all of the other cells in your body. And we'll also go into your genetic code and make sure that there's nothing there that needs to be pulled out and changed. Okay, and on the genetic carousel, I see 5 places where they're dark genes. So we're going to pull those out and put new ones in there too. And now the genetic code is moving around and showing the energy that it should. And that will also be corrected throughout your body so that you won't have issues with sleeping all the time.
Oh, thank God.
Most of us work at night in the on the inner planes. And
I know.
That doesn't bother your energy.
Oh, that's good, because I don't want to stop doing that, because I know it's important.
Well, it is important, but that doesn't affect your energy, because your body is still able to sleep and rest, and so that doesn't really affect you. Now, let me go in on a history level and make sure that there's not something on a history level in terms of your past lifetime.
Yeah.
Okay, well, ask any of your ancestors to step up who wish to have the same work done with them. Any of your past lives?
Yes.
Any of your soulmates, your family, friends, or any of your enemies who wish to have this corrected for them as well.
Okay.
We'll correct it on all levels, down to the soul level of each individual cell, on all of the physical levels, mental, emotional, spiritual, in all time and all reality and all space and all languages. We'll unlock any locked blocks. Pull the anchors from any belief systems that would hold this in.
Thank you.
Pull any curses, hexes, or spells, or any cords or ropes that would bind you to this. And all of this stuff is pulling out and away from your body, your physical body, your mental body, your emotional body, your aura, your etheric body, and we send it all to God to be cleansed and purified, forgiven, resolved, and released, and in its place we'll put in, I am alive. I enjoy my life fully.
I enjoy my life.
I am aware.
I am awake.
I am fully working with God. And aware of my work and my fulfillment as a person.
And aware of my work and my fulfillment as a person.
Okay. That looks much better. You look much lighter and brighter, and we pulled all of that out now, so you're
so I can clean my house. Yay!
Now, Diana, we're going to leave you, dear, and in 2 weeks, you can, bring your husband back, or Caroline's number is on the page under my information. If you want to call her for a private consultation, you can, or, as I said, bring your husband back in 2 weeks, because we do this show every other week.
Oh, and thank you so much. Thank you, because I need to be awake. My body and my brain just weren't there, and now
you
they
go,
are.
You go
thank
with
you.
Our love, darling. Thank
I love
you.
You.
We'll
I love you.
Later.
I love you.
Bye-bye.
And thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, Caroline, that was interesting, darling.
Yes, it was, wasn't it?
So, you saw all these lights going on, huh? Sort of like this picture when you have an idea, this light bulb goes off.
That's right. Well, when I go in and look at the brain, I just turn on the lights and make sure everything's connected. And sometimes I see that there are connections that really aren't being connected. They're not or I see that there are enzymes that are in there being manufactured, but they're not even being sent out into the body. So there are lots of things like that that God can really fairly easily change, and it just happens almost as fast as I can tell you what is going on.
This is so fascinating, Caroline. Now, is this work being done in the physical body, or is it being done in the etheric double body?
It's being done in both places.
Okay.
All right. It's not just done on the physical level. Basically, when you start working on the physical body, you discover not only that there are past lifetimes that maybe need to be healed, but one of the things that God showed me, several years ago, was that when He created you, He created you by a blueprint, a divine blueprint, it's called. And I can look at the divine blueprint, and if there is a particular area in it that flashes red light, that means that's an area that has developed a problem. And there are cords that go down from the divine blueprint to the working blueprint, and those cords connect the divine blueprint to the blueprint by which your actual body was made. And sometimes there are cords that go from the body to the working blueprint to the divine body that go up the wrong way. And what's happened is your body has taught your divine blueprint that there's a problem there. So when I'm doing work with God on a DNA level, the divine blueprint also shows up, and I make sure that there are no cords going up from the body to the divine blueprint. They're supposed to come from God to the divine blueprint, to the working blueprint, to your body. So I make sure that those are also clear and connected, in the sense that things are working properly.
You know, it is so complicated when you start hearing about all of these systems.
It sounds really, I think, much more complicated than it is. It's just fascinating to me, and very interesting, because I never know when I go in, of course, because it's not me doing the work, exactly where I'm going to go or what I'm going to see. It may be a cell level, it may be the soul level, cells.
I think we're being beat.
Okay.
We have another caller.
You're being beat.
Who's beeping us?
This is Jan.
Jan?
Yes.
Oh, Jan, you know Caroline.
Yes, I know Caroline.
Hi, Jan. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? I'm still listening to you guys talking.
I know. Isn't it exciting?
You're talking to me, and you're talking to each other at the same time.
That's right.
Jan, darling, what are we going to talk about today? What question do you have for Caroline?
Oh, I have this question about, why can't I get this hip and spine straightened out?
Wow, you're still dealing with that. I figured by now
you'd think she would be ice skating, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I know. I got to turn this down. I can't hear both.
Please turn it down. Caroline, while she's turning that down, so we don't have any dead space, why don't you give out your phone number to people who can't read?
Okay, there are some of those. I'm always surprised to find out.
There. Now,
my phone number is area code
540-540-586. Uh-huh.
2401.
Okay.
Now, that's for those people who can't read.
Now, I don't know how they're going to write it if they can't read, but oh well. I won't go there.
Oh. They put it on their hand.
I wrote it on a piece of paper. That's right. I'll see you in October, Caroline. I'm coming over that way.
Oh, good. Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can we do that. Anything for this light worker to help get her baggage in motion?
Helen, have you done an Akashic record reading to find out why she's having this issue in this lifetime?
No, I haven't. She hasn't asked me.
Well, you're always so busy. I hate to take up your time.
You got to be kidding. I've asked you to be on this radio show more than once.
Well, I know, but you don't know.
Helen, what are you seeing for our dear friend here?
Caroline.
Well, I was going in and looking to see what's happened here.
She's got a flashlight, Jan.
Uh-huh. Good.
That's right. Is this a result of an accident in this lifetime?
I really don't know. I've been in I think 5 car wrecks and always walked away from them, but it could have contributed to.
Well, I was getting a picture of a car wreck. So one of them must have somehow. And have you had surgery?
No.
No? No surgery. Okay.
No, the only surgery I had was a hysterectomy.
Well, that wouldn't have...
That doesn't affect your walking.
No. Okay. Well, let's see here. Now, are you sitting or standing, Jan?
I'm sitting right now.
Okay. I would like for you to lean over slightly at the waist. And then feel like you're pulling your head up by a rope so that you are elongating the vertebra in your back and giving it some space, and keep your back as straight as you can as you lean slightly. This will take a minute or two because what God does is go down and make sure that everything's in place all the way down your back, and that the spaces between each of your vertebra are the same.
Okay.
Okay, so just hold yourself out, then I can look down and see if you've got any vertebra that need to be tweaked just a little bit. So they'll be right back in the right place.
It'll be the lumbars down at the bottom.
And down, all the way down, and check on each one of the discs and make sure that they're in place too. Okay. There, all the discs are lined up now. Now we're going to go in and see back down on both sides and check out all the nerves and make sure that where the nerves come out, none of them are crimped or pinched or turned over or anything.
Okay.
And that they're in the right pathway, because there's a pathway basically for each one of the nerves to go through the tissues, and sometimes if the nerves get out of place, that also can affect you, not just in terms of pain, but in terms of how you function.
Yes, mobility is a problem.
Yes, I know. Being able to get around is not very easy for you.
No.
Are you walking with a cane or anything?
Yes, I walk with a cane.
With what?
With a cane.
With a cane?
Uh-huh.
And, okay, there are a couple of nerves that God's gently pushing back into place here. And I'm going to check to make sure that the myelin sheath hasn't been torn anywhere. As it comes out. That's the covering that's around part of the nerve. Generally speaking, where they come out and go like between two bones or something, there's two pieces of tissue that they go between. Sometimes they can get rubbed, and so the body has a myelin sheath that goes around the nerve that protects the nerve as it comes down. Okay, we'll make sure all that's okay. If it's not, God's gonna fix it for you.
Good.
All right, now your backbone's looking a whole lot better and straighter here. Now, your hip bone is kind of tilted. Have you ever been to a chiropractor?
Oh, many times. I've been doing Rolfing sessions for years now. In fact, my Rolfer is leaving for California. I have to find a new one.
Uh-oh. Okay, now let's see here. You've got a hip that's tilted, and that makes that leg shorter.
Right. It's the right hip, and the socket is the problem. And
it looks almost like the socket's kind of jammed up in there. It's too far up into the opening in the hip bone.
Yeah. It shoves that side up and back, and actually makes the leg appear shorter.
Okay, let's see if we can get God to ease that down some. Okay. And Jan?
Mm-hmm.
You really need to call me once a week so we can get this completely lowered back into place, because the muscles are going to have to also be elongated so that they are the same length, so your legs are the same length. This
right.
is not... one of those things that I can fix in 10 minutes on the radio, or that God can fix in 10 minutes on the radio. It's got to be done in increments, or it would be extraordinarily painful. So what I'd like for you to do is to call me Monday mornings. I usually am on the phone making my appointments for the next 2 weeks. So if you can call me on Monday morning, though I probably won't be here this coming Monday because it's Labor Day, call me Tuesday morning, and we'll set up an appointment time so that we can work on this to get the bone itself pulled down and the tissues in your leg from your hip to your knee and from your knee to your ankle elongated enough that whole leg will come back down into place so that you can walk on it again.
Oh, great.
Okay.
Now, what time Tuesday? I work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
You do what?
I work Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay.
So,
and where, I don't remember where you're living now. Are you in a different
Chicago
time
area?
Zone?
I'm an hour earlier than you are.
Okay. And what time do you go to work?
I leave about 7:30. That's 8:30 your time.
Well, why don't you call me before you leave for work?
Okay.
And we'll find a time we can make an appointment next week so that we can do some more work on this.
Okay. That'll
okay.
be wonderful.
We've sort of slightly tweaks the way the bone goes up into your hip. God's kind of tweaked that a little bit, but it's going to take some tweaking for a couple of weeks,
uh-huh.
and some sort of stretching of those tissues in there to get it to all come out. But
boy, am
work.
I glad I don't have to go over there and jump on her.
I would not want you to do that.
Okay, Carolyn, you can tell me why I have this.
For you. Did you hear me?
What?
I said send me an email. I'll do a reading for you.
Okay.
To find out what might be surrounding this.
Okay.
I'd rather
probably
do it
without
privately,
playing
darling.
Too hard.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you have Caroline's phone number?
Yes, I do.
Good.
Yes. She did write it down on a piece of paper, she said. So.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
We're in good shape.
Okay.
Talk to you later, dear.
All right. Thank you so much, Caroline.
Oh,
bye-bye.
Sure. Thanks for calling, Jan. Talk
okay.
to you later.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was nice. I hadn't talked to her in a long time.
See,
so.
You had to come on a radio show to talk to your friend.
I know. Isn't that amazing? She used to even send me emails. Then I think she discovered that I didn't read them. So she
yeah,
quit
that'll stop. That'll stop me.
Yeah, see, I'm a techno peasant. I'm not very good at setting these digital clocks or working the internet or any of that kind of stuff. I do real well with a wheelbarrow and a hoe.
That sounds good to me.
No, it works for me.
One of the things that I had down here to talk to you about, a little bit different, healing on a different level.
Okay.
And, you know, we're both grandmothers, and I think we understand children and know how to discipline them.
Definitely.
Seems to be something that our current generation has forgotten how to do. Tell me a little bit about your Camp Cece.
Oh, I had the best time. I have got 6 grandchildren who live in town, and the oldest is going to be 8 in October, and then I have one that will be 7 in December, and one who is 5, and one who's 4. And then I have 2-year-olds. Well, last summer I decided, you know, these kids are going to get so booked up all summer that I'm not going to have a chance to see them, and that just is not a tenable situation for me. So I thought, well, if I have camp once a week, I could have them all over here, and I'd get a chance to see them, and I'd be part of their schedule, not just whenever they happen to have time to run over here or whatever. So last year was my first year, and I just did the 3 oldest ones last year. I felt like you really needed to be 4 to sit down and have activities at camp. And last year we studied about peace, and I found this wonderful book called Peacemaking Through the Arts that my sister told me about, and I adapted it for the children, and we learned the peace sign and what it means to be peaceful, and we just really did all kinds of activities that involved peace, and for instance, we made a peace pie instead of a pizza pie, and we wrote peace, you know, and I had them make it, and we wrote peace on the pizza, and we made dirt, and I'm sure most of the listeners know what dirt is. I didn't. I hadn't been exposed to it before, but I used chocolate pudding and vanilla pudding, and we sort of swirled it together, and we put Oreo crumbs in it, and I bought gummy worms, and we stuck the gummy worms down in there so that the way their little heads popped up, it spelled out peace. So we just did, you know, and we learned peace songs. I'm an old hippie, so I had been in the peace movement in the 60s, and I taught them all kinds of peace songs, and I changed the hand jive. Do you remember the hand jive? changed the hand jive so that it was about peace, and I changed, we all live in a yellow submarine, to different words, so it was about living peacefully in a yellow submarine. And one of the things that they really learned to do, since two of them live together, is I said, now when you start a fight, how are you going to stop it? And they both looked at me like, are you crazy? And I said, hold up the peace sign, and that will stop the fight. And then you think about what it was you were fighting about and see if you can work out a solution to it, which I knew was asking a lot of children who were last year 6 and 4, but it really did seem to help. Their parents told me that they thought it was making it a different kind of situation. And we just had so much fun, and they played in the slip and slide outside, and we started learning how to cook really simple things, and we did all kinds of arts and crafts around peace and writing it and spelling it and that sort of thing. And then this year we did joy. So every time we had, and we did this, we do it once a week, and they're here from about 10 o'clock in the morning until 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, that's a long day for you.
It is.
With a group of children.
Well, it is. With four of them, I have to admit that I kind of went upstairs and took a nap after they left.
Well, goodness, all about peace and making dirt and gummy bears. I guess you did need a little bit of a rest.
Well, you know, the most fun thing that I think we've done yet, we did this year. I said, okay, now I want everybody to tell me, once we've done the first lesson on joy and what that means, I said, what would give you joy for us to do this year? Well, my oldest grandson, Thomas, always has these great ideas. He said, could we have a food fight, Cece?
A food fight? Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, you want to have a food fight? He said, yeah. We can't ever have a food fight at school, and we can't have one at home. I said, you know what? We can do a food fight in the backyard.
So what did you fight with?
Well, they made chocolate pudding and butterscotch pudding, and I bought cans of whipped cream, and we went out in the backyard, and I had them strip down to their underwear. And I put it all on the table, and I said, I hold the spoon.
And you said what?
I hold the spoon.
Oh, okay.
I was afraid I would get covered with chocolate and butterscotch pudding, too. Not that it would have been bad, but
Weren't stripped down to your underwear. So
no,
you
I was not.
This.
I was not stripped down to my underwear. And my foster daughter came over with her camera because she was so excited that we were really doing that. And she took the most wonderful pictures. We started out with paper bowls, and I would put butterscotch and chocolate pudding and whipped cream in there, and they started throwing them. Well, they very quickly decided that it would go faster if they used their hands. They dumped pudding and threw pudding. We had whipped cream all over everything. Their heads were covered. Their bodies, when we finally ran out of pudding and whipped cream, they looked at me and they said, what are we going to do now? And I said, well, just smear it all over yourself. Well, they smeared it on each other. So if they had a big blob of whipped cream on their back, they'd smear it all over somebody's back. And then when it was over with, I had the sprinkler going, so they all went through the sprinkler and got the chocolate pudding and butterscotch pudding off, and then they did the slip and slide. But there were still vestiges the next day, I noticed, in everybody's hair of chocolate or butterscotch pudding. But they had the best time, and I laughed. My sides were split, and I laughed so much. They were so funny doing it. It was great fun for all of us. So I do that because it brings me joy to have my grandchildren around.
Mm-hmm.
And I really have gotten so much out of teaching them these aspects of life that they're not usually taught.
That's true.
You know, in fact, I was appalled when I was over at Barnes & Noble one day in the children's department, and I was looking for books on joy, and the lady said, you know, you can't teach concepts like that. And I looked at her, and I said, what? She said, you can't teach concepts. And I said, yes, you can. I taught peace last year, and it worked out beautifully. I said, I'm sure I can teach joy. You know, I'm not exactly sure how I'm going to start it out, but I'm sure that once I get into it, I can teach them joy. And the children were great. They really had good ideas about things that would bring them joy to do, and we learned how to do more complicated cooking. They're still not really using the stove, but, you know, making things from Pillsbury crescent rolls and doing stuff like that. It was just a lot of fun, and when they'd leave, I would have this huge smile on my face until I walked into the kitchen and went, oh, geez, I got food all over.
I really wanted the people to hear about Camp CC and perhaps give some parents and grandparents out there some ideas as to what they could do with their grandchildren, because I think they're really, I mean, what form of discipline is there when everybody can have fun, can follow directions, to have respect for one another? You know, it's all part and parcel of the same thing.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's really amazing, but the whole time they were here, from 10 until 2 every day, and I had all of those varying ages, one girl, and she was the youngest. This year, I really never had any kind of discipline problem.
No, you don't, because they're having fun.
They're having fun. I plan a week ahead of time, and sometimes 2 weeks ahead of time, what the curriculum is going to be for the next time, so that the time's all slotted out pretty much, and they move from one activity to the other one, just like you would do in school. And yet it's not a serious thing in the sense of, did you answer all your math questions correctly? You know, the most serious that we really get is when we're doing the art and deciding, you know, how we're going to write out peace. We made a book this year for joy, so we would, you know, they cut things out of magazines that they thought would bring them joy. They, you know, we just really stayed busy the whole time, and it was fun. And we never really had a time when I had to call them down, except maybe one day it was rainy and we couldn't get outside.
Yeah, that's a problem.
Yeah.
Well, Caroline, if the powers, we have another hour to go, and if the powers could be, to take a little bit time now and have some information about our trip coming up with Archangel Michael.
Sure.
It would be nice.
Okay. That sounds good.
That is, if the powers to be are listening to us. Okay, we're back, friends.
And
we're back on, and we've had some real interesting conversations. But something that I wanted to get back to was, Caroline, tell us, you started to tell us a story about when you had your heart attack, and there was something in that story that you related to me another time that I found so fascinating, because I had received some information from the spiritual hierarchy about how the three hearts, or the three areas that we would consider heart, is coming together. And that is, of course, we all know where our regular heart is, but that there is cells in the abdominal area, which some people call the gut, and then in the brain, that they are all linking up presently. And this was what I wanted to hear you talk about across that but
hello?
I think we're being interrupted before we get to that. We'll take up one.
Yeah, I apologize for that. One of the cords were hit.
Oh, no, look, you did that by mistake?
Correct. That was all a big mistake.
Well, see, you just wanted to jump in and talk with us.
That's right.
Okay, Caroline. So I found this so fascinating that you found the actual part in the body that, from what I understand, you're showing does connect all three of these thinking hearts together. Can you tell us about that a little?
Well, I think what you're talking about is the heart-mind.
Mm-hmm, yes.
There's this area right below your heart and sort of behind it a little bit where there's this sort of gelatinous glob. I don't know how else to describe it because that's kind of what it looks like, except that it has all of these it looks almost like it has all of these wires and things running through it. And God told me, and he's told a couple of other people, I think, the same thing, that this is the heart-mind, and that this is actually where information comes in to the body, and it's also where the area that you access when you talk about my gut tells me to do so-and-so my intuition, which is kind of down there right above your waistline. It's got all these this information that it takes in, and if it's stuff that needs to be stored, it sends it on up to the brain, and it's stored in the brain because the brain's really more like a computer. We tend to think that where we think is in our brain. It's not really technically exactly right. The information's all stored up there. But where we actually think is more through our heart-mind, because the things that we experience, the experiences that we have in this lifetime and other lifetimes are experienced through this part, and it connects with the brain. So it's really fascinating. It was fascinating for me the first time I saw it because I didn't know what it was. I kept going, down, what's this thing? And did they hurt it when they did my heart surgery? That was one of my, because I didn't know, at that point, I didn't really know what it was. And I kept thinking, okay, what's up with this thing? And what did they, you know, did they cut it or damage it or anything in the surgery? And that was one of the first things, once I had checked out my heart to make sure there wasn't any damage there that needed to be repaired. And there was some that needed to be repaired. But then once I went down and looked at that, I realized that they really didn't quite understand what that part is either, and so they kind of leave it alone when they do a heart surgery. Yeah, which is a good thing. But it is actually connected to the heart, and it's connected to the brain. And there is a area now that most of us are going through a process of connecting the right and left sides of our brain. There is a area in the brain that's becoming more active because it is being connected up, and that area definitely is almost more like it's the part of the brain that holds your emotions and your memory of emotions, and in that sense connects with your heart, your loving kindness, and the kind of attributes that we currently, your love, joy, those things come from your heart. That's what we've always connected them with anyway. Is that more confusing, or did that?
No, not at all, because
how have you seen it?
I don't see it like you see it. Information that I do is I read an article, a scientific article, and they're finding that these what we would call heart cells, they're starting to understand that they're in the thinking heart is in more places than just the heart area. And so science is indicating that these cells, and they're actually calling them the stem cells, which I thought was real fascinating when I started to do some research on this, and that they're located in what we would call the gut, the heart area, and in the mind or the brain. And so when I saw the scientific paper, I then went and asked that question to receive a reading on it, which was fascinating. And I did put that up in the spiritual notebook that we have at the station. And it's just one more of these things that's coming to mind, that all these changes is coming in the physical, that is connecting all of these different parts. And yes, it's connected to love. And it's like we are stepping up on this next level of understanding to be a more complete human being, in the sense that we're having more in touch with our senses. We're starting to understand that we can communicate with our body. In other words, you're doing this in your work. You're communicating and with God's help making changes, but that all of our cells we can communicate with all of our cells.
Mm-hmm.
And it's one of the things for those in the listening audience who have not read Chaos Before Creation, which is found at my website at healingmysteries.com. There's 13 masters who come and discuss the different aspects of healing, and it's some of the things that they discuss, and also bring in that concept of clearing the debris from past lifetimes. That seems to be one of the biggest issues that the spiritual hierarchy is telling us that we need to do right now before ascension. You're probably seeing a lot of that work right now, I would imagine.
Yes, I am. I'm seeing a lot of that, actually. Doing a lot of clearing of issues and pain and suffering from past lifetimes, and that those sorts of things really do have to be cleared out before you can completely heal and before you're completely open to the new information that's coming in. I had an interesting thing happen. I used to be an interior designer, and I decided that I was going to go in the direction of doing healing work instead of decorating people's houses. And so I was in my office cleaning out all of the detritus from past clients of interior design, and I thought, I was like a woman possessed, you know. I'm taking out bag after bag after bag, trash bag of all this stuff, and I'm sitting in the middle of the floor trying to decide what to keep and what to save and so forth. And all of a sudden I hear this God talking to me, and he said, "Don't you understand this yet?" And I said, "Well, no, I don't." And he said, "Well, how can the new come in if you're so cluttered with the old?"
Mm-hmm.
He said, "You know, it's not just about cleaning out your office. It's also about cleaning out your mind of old ideas.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't clean those out, clean your heart out of past experiences that you consider were maybe negative in some way, then the new experiences can't come in. And life's about change."
Indeed it is.
You know, and life's about making sure that you're in a place where you can accept change and you can step into new roles as you need to. So
I wanted to change the subject if you were willing, because I think this is another area that's really important right now, and that is we're kind of talking about changes in the body, that
right.
We're changing from cells that are carbon-based to cells that are crystalline in their nature.
Right.
When you go in and look at this, Have you been able to see the difference between the two cells?
Sure. They look very different. I can usually tell. I mean, I can always tell where somebody has changed and where they haven't changed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really interesting to see because there's the cell structure is just different. It's since it's more of a crystalline base, it looks like a different shape. And
what shape? Somewhat like a crystal shape.
Uh huh. Mm-hmm. Very similar to the. I don't know if you have one of the rock or crystal books, but there are a couple of books that show you the molecular structure of the crystals. And that's kind of what I'm seeing in terms of changes within the body.
And I find that whole subject fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Because I have received information on that too. And in Viva Papa and also Earth History that Archangel Michael gave us, he talks about the one of the changes in the cells is on a chromosome of the telomere. I'm not sure that we talked about this before. Does this sound familiar,
mm-hmm.
like I've talked to you about this
No,
before?
I don't think you've talked to me about that.
Every time, the way things are now, while they're carbon-based, when a cell replicates itself, a little piece of that telomere breaks off. And so science tells us that we have about 40, that a cell will replicate about 40 times before it dies. In other words, we're not talking about new cells that are coming into creation, but what happens to an existing cell.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how they're defining it as aging. The fact that a cell will replicate after 40 times it dies, and then there's enough cells in the body that does not replicate itself, that this is part of the aging process, which I found very fascinating. And
I agree.
There was a scientist who did some research about 20 years ago that came up with this idea or this thought. And Archangel Michael and Pope John Paul gave me information that said that in that is the carbon-based cell, and then when the cell changes to the crystalline composition, that this won't happen, that the telomere will not break off, and that for in all essence, the new body will not once we're 100% crystalline, the body will not age.
Yoo-hoo! That's awesome.
We might die from an accident. We might be in an accident and perish, but from aging, that this is one of the blessed side effects that we'll have by all of our cells being crystalline. Isn't that fascinating?
That's wonderful. I love it.
I do too.
Yeah. Because you think of how much you can accomplish, how much good you can do, how much fun you can have if your body is really staying, not aging, if it's staying whatever age you choose to stay. I don't know. I have wondered if that means that, for instance, if my body completely changes to crystalline structure, does that mean that I'm going to be still at the age I am now for however long, until I'm ready to leave the planet, or?
Well, Archangel Michael has told others that we would have the appearance of about a person age 35.
Okay.
That's our peak.
Right. And that was the information I was getting.
You're getting that too?
Mm-hmm. That's
God,
the information.
God's telling you that?
Yeah. He said, you know, you can go back to about 35, basically, when this whole change is complete, that you will go back to looking that age. And I was like, okay, that's really great with me, because that's probably when you have the most energy, when you're the most comfortable with yourself as well, you know, because you have this image of yourself when you're in your teens and early 20s of having to look like some crazy movie star or something. And by the time you've gotten to be 30, 35, you're really more comfortable with your own body the way it is.
Well, that's part of it. But then the other part also is that it takes such, well, first of all, it takes a long time for the body to mature. Then look at all of the knowledge that we have to gather to be able to make decisions in a mature attitude, or, you know, to being responsible. And so by the time you get all of this experience, and by the time you get all this education, we're probably at 35 replications of the self.
Exactly.
We're getting to those 40 replications, and aging is set in. I think this is great. If we could just turn all this back to 35, sounds good to me.
Oh, it sounds great to me too. I'm all for that.
When you look at the crystal cell, do you find that they hold more light than the carbon-based cells?
Yes, they definitely hold more light. And they hold more. I know this is going to sound absolutely crazy, but they hold more of God's intelligence and wisdom and love. It's like they haven't forgotten where they came from.
I don't find that unusual at all. One of the things that I had received is that language is the light of God, or rather, light is the language of God.
Right.
And so
yes.
If you have a cell that is holding more light, the light is the essence of God. So, yes, I mean, to me, that's exciting.
Oh, I think it's very exciting. Just amazing to look inside your own body and see how it's changing and how the structure within is changing. It's just really, it's not always easy, but there are times when you're like, okay, can we make this a little easier? But it's, it's very, it just opens up a whole world of possibilities that we can't even really fathom at this point.
Caroline, you do such incredible work, and, you know, your ability is so far-reaching. Do you have any thoughts or ideas that you could give to the people who are listening as to how one might approach the theta state so they can start to learn how to look within their own bodies? Is this something that you're able to talk about?
Sure. It's really not hard to do that. What I found with most of the clients I've worked with is that you're pretty much automatically in a theta state when you pray.
Oh, now that's interesting.
Yeah, you connect with God when you pray.
Yes.
Now, there's a way to go about praying that is about affirmation rather than begging and pleading.
Yes.
And that is that when you say to God, thank you for bringing me my daily bread, that basically says to God that it's already been done.
Yes.
And so when I'm helping people with going inside and looking at their own bodies. I say, you don't go in there and say, oh, please, God, would you please change this? That's not the way to go about doing it, because that puts it in the future.
Mm-hmm.
What you choose to do when you're doing healing work is to put it in present tense so that it happens now.
Mm-hmm.
So you say, thank you for bringing me my daily bread. Thank you for protecting me on this airplane flight. What you do that kind of praying, which is what Jesus was trying to teach us about, you're being thankful for something that's accomplished in the moment and not in the past or not in the future. Not that you're not thankful for those things as well, but if what you're doing is choosing to see what your brain looks like,
mm-hmm.
you say, thank you for showing me what my brain looks like. And then you just visualize yourself as a very small person going down into your brain. You can see pretty much what it looks like. I always say a prayer before I do my healing work, and I always say one afterwards as well. And if you'd like for me to, I can repeat that since we don't have a question.
Oh, I would love it, because I'd love to hear you say that. It's so beautiful.
Thank you. It really came to me from God, not from me.
Mm-hmm.
But I say, most gracious Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, Thou who art all that is, thank you for this opportunity to work with Carolyn and to work with you for our healing. Thank you for clearing these spaces. Thank you for clearing us. Thank you for allowing into these spaces only those beings of light who can help with this healing and who are here for our highest and best good. Thank you for surrounding us with the white light of the Christ energy, the golden light of your unconditional love, and the universal lights of universal transformation and healing. Thank you for giving me eyes to see as you see, ears to hear as you hear, a heart full of your unconditional love and compassion, and a mouth which speaks your truth with wisdom, grace, and joy. Thank you.
Oh, when I hear that, I always find that so soothing, Caroline. It is so loving.
Thank you. I do too, and I really feel that the work that I do is much clearer and more somehow more efficacious, because I'm not just invoking the presence of God, which is always here whether you invoke it or not, but because I'm acknowledging it and being in a place of gratitude for what
mm-hmm.
does take place and how the healing does work.
Oh, that is so beautiful. So would you say that when you go through a prayer like that automatically takes you into the theta state?
Yeah.
I figured it must, because when I hear you say it, I just love it, and I feel so relaxed. And that, to me, is one of the signs of being in theta. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did we have someone who had a question?
Yes, this is Michael from Florida, Carol.
I can't hear you, Michael. A little louder, dear.
This is Michael from Florida.
Yes, Michael. Can you hear Michael, Caroline?
No.
This
Michael,
is Michael from Florida.
Caroline can't hear you. I'm not sure about this connection, Michael. Can you speak a little louder?
This is Michael from Florida.
Okay. Caroline, did you hear
that? I heard
that. Yes. Okay.
And the interesting part is I just connected after you finished making your prayer, which was beautiful.
Wasn't it?
For the last half hour, I've been trying, and at that point, it just connected.
Well, maybe it was meant to be.
That's exactly what I'm thinking, and it's lovely to talk to both of you.
Yes. Michael, tell Caroline what question you might have.
The question is, my sleep cycles have been changed, and it's more than one just thought, but I thought there's also a physical condition involved with it.
Caroline, I could not hear what he was saying.
She could not. Caroline couldn't hear it. Now, I heard you say that your sleep cycles were changed. I heard that. What came after your sleep cycles were changed?
I also requested that I believe it's also a physical problem as well as a etheric problem, if we want to use that term.
Okay, Caroline. Michael has sleep patterns that have changed. He wants to know if this is a physical problem that is causing his sleep cycles to change, or is it some spiritual, etheric reason that his sleep cycles are changed? Michael, does that describe what your question is?
Yes, it does, Carol.
Okay.
Carolyn.
Well, Caroline?
Okay, yeah.
Caroline.
Okay, you got that.
I got that. Okay. I will say that for some reason right now, and probably for the last 6 or 8 months at least, most people who have started on their spiritual path or who have awakened to their connections with God, in whatever name you call him, are experiencing being awakened in the middle of the night a couple of times. 2 to 3 times is probably not unusual for most of the people I talk to. I'm not exactly sure why that's happening, though I've been told that I'm not to worry about it, just to get a drink of water, go to the bathroom, whatever you feel called to do, and then go back and go back to sleep again. So I've kind of gotten used to the fact that that's happening right now. It's happening to the physical body because it's also happening on the etheric level. And I think that sometimes, well, not really think, but God's saying to me that sometimes what happens is that what we're doing in our dream time will be completed, and so then it's kind of like we start into a new job or a new experience in our dream time, and that's why we're awakened. But I will at the same time go down and make sure, are you on any types of medication that would cause this?
No medications whatsoever, just vitamins.
Okay. All right, so let me go down into your brain, if that's okay, and
yes,
take a look
ma'am.
Around and make sure that everything's connected like it needs to be. Okay, we turn on the lights and... Everything looks pretty well connected, but now I will tell you one thing that God has told me to do, if it's okay with you.
Yes, ma'am.
Overlaying the top of your brain, there is an infinity symbol, which, as you know, looks kind of like a figure eight.
Yes.
And God is telling me almost every time I work on somebody now to open up all of the infinity symbols all the way down through your brain to the base. Connect them as I go down through your brain. Throw the switch at the bottom to turn all the lights on. And then come back up and make sure that everything is connected. And basically what this is doing is connecting all of the right side of your brain to the left side of your brain. So that you will no longer be thinking from one part of the brain or another part of the brain or operating from one part. All the parts are going to come online and start working again. So if that's okay with you, we'll go through and do that.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, it won't take but a couple of seconds here. It looks almost like, I don't know if you're familiar with those little Hot Wheels tracks that used to sort of make a figure eight and be connected. That's what it looks like as I'm going down through there. It looks like there's this figure eight lowering itself down all the way down through your brain. Now we've got it all. Now we're going to throw the switch and turn all the lights on. Now you may feel this or you may not. If you later on in the next couple of weeks or months sometimes feel like there's some kind of little electrical buzzing or something going on in your head, not to worry. This is another section of your brain that's coming online. And it will really open up your awakening process and your third eye and the gifts of the spirit which you have within you will come online. And it will also help you sleep. Because while this connection process is being done, you will feel the need to really get more rest at night. Okay,
I'm listening.
How about more water, Caroline? Should he drink more water?
Everybody should always drink water anytime they have any kind of healing work done, whether it's for me or anybody else. You always need to drink a lot of water. And I tend to use distilled water, which I put minerals in. And I certainly recommend that you don't drink heavily chlorinated water. It is not as alive as it needs to be for your cells.
Yes, only drink spring water.
And what did he say?
He says he only drinks spring water.
Okay.
Well, a drink of water on us, Michael.
Right.
You take care.
I wish you both love and light. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that was interesting. It's the kind of information that I've been getting from Spirit also about the right and the left side of the brain being connected.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize the infinity symbol, though. What I was familiar with was the corpus callosum. And that at one point the brain was all one. Oh, we got another person, it sounds like.
Excuse me?
Okay.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, my name is Rachel. I'm Diana Larrabee's daughter.
Rachel, you're Diane what?
Diana Larrabee's daughter.
Oh, yes,
daughter.
She called earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Right, you got home in time to
talk
to
Caroline.
Yeah,
I didn't know if I was to talk when you were talking. I thought that would be rude if I interrupted, but she said to interrupt you, so.
Yeah, well, that's okay. Do you have a question for Caroline, Rachel?
I thought I was supposed to ask a question, but then she told me to ask for a healing.
Yes.
That was what I was supposed to do? I don't know.
But you
have
to tell Caroline what you want healed.
Oh, okay. Well, I have myotonic dystrophy, which is a muscle disease that deteriorates your muscles as you get older. And then I also have a slipped disc in my lower back that they just found that is really bothering me, like, all the time. I've had it since I was, like, 13, I think.
Caroline, did you hear her?
Like, they just found the slip disc now.
Is she talking too quietly for me to really be able to hear her?
Okay.
I did hear.
Rachel, you got to speak up a little, dear. Let's take one problem. Did you say
right.
you had a slip disc?
Yes.
Okay, so you have a slip disc. What was the other thing?
It's a thing called myotonic dystrophy. It's a muscle disease of the tetrarchy of your muscles. It's like a genetic disease.
Did you hear that, Caroline?
My father.
Parts of it.
Okay.
Why don't we work on the slip disc right now, because we can go ahead and move that into place.
Okay. Rachel, we're going to work on the slip disc, dear.
Okay.
Okay. Now, are you sitting down, Rachel?
Yes.
Okay. I want you to lean forward slightly with your feet flat on the floor. And straighten up as you lean over and feel like something has connected you to the top of your head, and it pulls your head up so that it separates the vertebra in your back. And okay, and just hold that for a minute or two. We'll go all the way down and make sure that all of the other discs are in the right place. Okay, and now God's going to slip that disc back into place. He has a little paintbrush that he uses to keep it back in place and to connect any parts of it that might be cracked or crushed, to put them back in place, kind of like putting a puzzle together. Okay, and does it very gently so that it does not hurt any of your nerves as they're coming down your vertebra. Okay, get that moved back in there. Okay, now pull up just a little bit more. Okay, that's better, that's better. Now we can get that disc really get it in there easily. Okay. Now, it's all back together and it's back in place. Now, you can relax back down. You need to be careful that you do not do anything to slip this disc back out. You need to be careful in the next couple of weeks about bending over, about how much you pick up, because it will take it a couple of weeks to completely reseat and not be inclined to slide out again. Okay?
But I work with kids. I work with kids every single day.
Rachel, we can't hear you. Did you understand what Caroline said?
Yeah, I'm just telling her that it might be hard for me to not be able to bend over a lot because I work with kids all day.
Because
so
you were what
be
all day?
Bending over, picking up stuff, cleaning things, doing things that like are really hard for me not to bend over and do them.
She's telling you to be very careful for the next couple weeks, not picking up things, watching what heavy things to pick up, and to be careful because the disc is not completely reseated. It's going to take a healing process to reseat the disc. The disc has been put back, but it's going to take time to actually reseat itself. So the next couple weeks,
that,
be very careful.
I work with kids.
What?
You understand? I work with little babies, like kids, and they pull on me, and I'm bending over to pick up things that they dropped, and I work with kids all week, like them. I'm going to be moving around a lot more than, you know,
Caroline,
I mean, I go to school.
Be better
I have
than
to get
bending.
Up and go do stuff.
Well,
I can't, like,
definitely need
be gentle
to
with myself.
Not bend over from the waist,
like
but
that.
To bend down with your knees. The other thing that she can do that
down.
Will help protect it is she can go to the drugstore. There are two or three different kinds of bands that you can wear around your back that will help it stay in place and support it while it is completely getting set in place. And it's because you see you create a pathway, sort of. That's the only way I know to describe it.
when it slips out. So you want it to stay in there in place and not slip out again. So in order to protect that, if you'll go to the drugstore and buy one of those bands, there's one that goes above your waist and there's one that'll go below your waist. If you have to pick up small children or something like that, wear the thing around your waist for 2 weeks and then you'll be fine.
What kind of band are you talking about? I'm not familiar with this, Caroline.
Well, in the drugstore where you can get all of the knee braces that are...
It's like a brace.
It's like a brace, and they have ones for your back as well as ones for your knees, your ankles, elbows. You can get them there. You could probably also get them at some of the healthcare places, but I would think they'd be more expensive than going to a drugstore would be. But if she'll just agree to do that for a couple of weeks, she'll be fine.
Did you understand that, Rachel?
Yes, I totally understand that.
So she's talking about wearing the brace around your back for a couple weeks until this seats itself. And then the other thing you said, Caroline, was about, did you say picking up from the knees? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm. Use your legs to pick up, not your back.
Okay. Sounds good.
Did you want to work with the other problem, or do you think this was enough for one day?
No, that's probably enough for one day.
I don't mind working with the other problem, but it is going to take...
I'm not as weak as most people that have it.
It's going to take several times. She needs to call me because it'll take several times to get that other problem taken care of, because if I understood it correctly, there's something about the muscle.
Rachel, what Caroline is suggesting is that you call her, that with the muscles it's going to take more work than just talking for
a few minutes. I'm a really strong 20-year-old, so I'm not as weak as most people who have this disease. So.
Okay. Well, Caroline is available to call her on the phone.
Okay, that sounds good. I'll do that.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
Caroline, do you remember what we were talking about before Rachel came on the phone?
Oh, please, Caroline. Put me on the spot.
You can say, no, I don't remember. I just recall that it was really interesting. And whatever it was, it'll come back again. But
I had just said before the man from Florida called Michael, I had just said my prayer.
Yes.
Somehow we had led into that. And
that was beautiful.
I'm not sure what we were talking about before that.
Well, when we got into the prayer, we were talking about just to back up a little, you had said that to get into the theta, when one prays, they're in the theta state.
Mm-hmm.
You gave this beautiful prayer, which every time I hear you say this, it just fills my heart. I just love it, and I feel so relaxed. And so you're saying that when you make a prayer like this, that you're in that the person is probably in the theta state.
Mm-hmm.
Then the other things that you talked about was when one prays, you want to be in the now, in the present. You're thanking God for a healing, or you're thanking God for something in the present moment instead of putting it in the future moment. That when we say, oh, will you please correct whatever it is, that's the future moment instead of the present.
Yeah.
And I think, I'm glad we went over this again, because I think this is a point that's very important. The manner in which you pray, to pray in the present.
Yes, it is.
Oh, I do have, that reminds me of something, Caroline, and we're talking about, what that reminded me of was time, that there are events in the past, present, and future. We know that we're moving towards the oneness when everything is simultaneous, but when you look into a body, do you ever, well, of course we know that you're seeing the past because you're seeing past events, that happened to this body. You're seeing the present because it is the present condition. And I'm wondering, when you look into a body, do you see the future, what the future possibilities might be?
That's a, I love the way your mind works, Carolyn. You know,
I never thought of that. Is that what you're going to say?
No, because I see things being done in the moment.
Uh-huh.
I see the correction taking place right now in this moment. And in the sense that if you understand the future as seeing it healed,
mm-hmm.
okay, that the work is done, yes, I see the future in that sense because I see it be healed and go back into place like that disc.
Mm-hmm.
And it's healed, and as long as she honors the fact that she needs to support that section of her back, it will, in 2 weeks, be completely healed, and she won't have to wear a brace again. That I can see, you know, I can see in that sense.
Mm-hmm.
The future where it is not only healed for the now moment, but it's healed permanently because you're willing to take a step for yourself. Because actually, it's, you know, God does the healing.
Yes.
But you as the client are the person who accepts it.
We have to take a certain mm-hmm. amount of responsibility.
You do. You can't mm-hmm. just expect something to happen without doing your part of the work,
mm-hmm.
basically. And your part of the work is basically to believe that there is a God, that God does heal, that he will heal you, and that you deserve to be healed, that there's not a problem in terms of your accepting the healing. Once you accept it, then it's done. And Jesus always asks people, do you believe?
Yes.
If he didn't know they believed. Now, when he knew they believed, he didn't ask that question, but he did ask it if it was like, you know, the blind man at the outside of the gate. He did ask him if he believed, and when he said he did, then Jesus knew that he was willing to accept the healing right then.
Mm-hmm.
And so the healing took place because the man believed that it could. So I found, and it hadn't happened very often, but I've had it happen a couple of times where I've done healing work on somebody, and sometimes people in, you know, around here will come here to the house to have healing work done. And I've had people be completely healed of whatever and walk out my front door and be talking to me and turn around and say, I don't believe I'm healed.
Oh, dear.
Well, what have you just done?
You've negated it.
You've negated the whole healing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just by saying that, you're not accepting it. And yet, if you had a limp or whatever and you walked downstairs and out my front door and down the steps perfectly fine, and then you turn around and say that, I have no control over that. Each individual client has got control, and that's one of the things I really had to learn early on,
mm-hmm.
that I can do the healing work. The healing work takes place. I see it. God does it. I have no question that God can heal. None whatsoever. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. But if the person that calls me has been, and this happens occasionally, told by their mother, their uncle, their brother, whatever, to call me, they may not really want to do it. They've just been hassled so much that they call me, and I can tell as soon as I go in that the work's not going to hold, the healing won't hold, because they're not ready for the healing to take place.
You know, this reminds me of an issue that I hear a lot when I do readings for people. And for those who might not be aware of it, they can get information on readings and sign up for a newsletter at my site, which is akashic-readings.com. And this issue that comes up a lot is revolves around self-love, meaning we have to love ourselves before we can love other people or accept healings or just how important loving, that we are worthy of love and that we accept ourselves on an equal basis, you know, with the rest of the souls. And
right.
So this is a big issue, and I think you're talking about this too. When somebody doesn't believe that they are healed, it could be that they feel they're not worthy enough to be healed and love themselves enough to be healed. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you know what that all turns on? From my point of view, anyway, and it took me a long time to get there because I'm a Presbyterian and I was brought up with a lot of guilt. I mean to tell you, now we can throw some guilt around in this Presbyterian church. So I was always felt unworthy to be healed. And it's when I got to the point in my life where I understood that God created me and I am therefore a child of God and I am therefore an heir to the kingdom.
Mm.
And I am worthy of being healed myself. I am worthy of working with God. He is my Father, just like my Father on earth. You know, when I finally really got that, I thought, you know what? That means that if you're a child of God and you start behaving that way now, then you really are staying in the love and light of God. And all things are possible.
Oh, indeed. That's so beautiful, Caroline. We have to leave now. Can you believe we're at the end of the two-hour stretch?
I can't.
Before we go, give your telephone number one more time.
Okay. You can reach me at 540-586-2401. I am available from 9 until 4 in the afternoon, Eastern Daylight Time. I do work out 2 to 4 weeks, depending on the time of year. So you will need to call me to make an appointment, and I make appointments for an hour to an hour and a half, depending on whether they've called me before or not. Usually the first time it takes an hour and a half, and then after that I work for about an hour. So please feel free to call me. I'll be happy to do anybody that wants some healing work done.
Well, I can vouch for Caroline's healing work, and for people who perhaps want some more information about underlying causes of their own problems or their mission or whether they're going to meet their soul partner, my website is www.akashic-reading.com. And this is Carolyn Evers saying goodbye to you to next week, along with Caroline Allen. We'll see you in 2 weeks' time. Go in peace and love. Bless you all. Goodbye.
Bye. Thank you.